أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه صدق الله العظيم My dear respected elders, friends, brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praises are due to Allah alone, that Allah has gifted us with the complete deen. Allah has given us the perfect deen. Allah has given us our means of success. Allah has given us the way to Jannah. The only thing that is upon us, brothers, is for us to practice. The deen in totality may be likened to various pieces of a puzzle. You have a 100-piece puzzle. Each thing in the deen holds its own independent place, its own independent virtue, and its own independent reward. Sometimes, brothers, we get carried away. It has become like a general misnomer amongst people that deen is confined to certain ritualistic practices, and more especially with regards to acts of worship. Thus, a person, mashallah, in certain regards, a person may be excelling. A person, mashallah, is reading his salah. He reads 5 daily salah. He reads abundant nawafil. A person, he fasts, and so on. He recites a lot of Quran, a lot of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so on. However, this is not the complete picture of deen. And the ulama have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given deen this design so that a person doesn't tire by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in just one particular way. Thus, my brothers, now the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as enshrined in the Quran, that O you who believe, that when the call takes place, then now you move towards Jumu'ah. So this is the command of the time. After Jumu'ah, if a person, my brothers, is engaged in his trade with the correct intentions, then inshallah a person will be rewarded for that. A person whose parents may be in need of khidmah and service, a person in their khidmah, my brothers, that would entail ibadah and worship. So each thing, my brothers, like the pieces of a puzzle, holds its own independent place, virtue and reward. So the ulama have mentioned, a person is not caught up in just doing one particular kind of ibadah which now tires a person, but a person moves from ibadah to ibadah, from one form of worship to the next. And Rasulullah ﷺ has told us in a hadith that a person chases and is in pursuit of good deeds all the time. لَيَشْبَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِ Nabi ﷺ said that a believer is never satiated with good deeds. حَتَّى مُنْتَهَاهُ الْجَنَّةِ Until his ultimate goal is Jannah. Thus from one action to the next, to the next, to the next, until a person reaches Jannah. MashaAllah. In addition to this, my brothers, a person in his stay in this world, a person cannot choose to live a life which is totally independent and aloof. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in terms of our interaction with others also as a test. So today I want to speak about an injunction in our deen, which is just not an ordinary injunction. But if we have to carefully examine the traditional texts, the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will well understand that this is an extremely, extremely emphasized command. And this is the command of joining family ties. The ayat of the Quran are many. The ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are many. If we have to open all the hadith books, those of virtue, the big journals, and so on and so on, we will find the narrations to this effect in the dozens. So now, my brothers, insofar as a person's interaction with his family and relations, how do we fare? So we were speaking about the concept of ibadah. Now, my brothers, that do I consider now going to visit my uncle or my aunt or my nephew or my niece or my brother and so on to be an act of ibadah? So today after Maghrib or after Isha, I'm going up the road. This is an act of ibadah. Is that how I am looking at it? So let's look at two narrations, just for us to understand. Powerful narrations, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates the words of Allah. This we know is known as Hadith Qudsi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Anallah, I am Allah, and I am Ar-Rahman. Now we know Allah ta'ala possesses many attributes. But Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, the absolute most compassionate and merciful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, خَلَقْتُ الرَّحِيمِ, I have created the Rahim. Now Rahim literally means, brothers, the womb. That's the dictionary meaning of this word Rahim. Now just for us to understand it, that the name of the chapter in the kitabs is what? Silatul Rahim. To join that. To join the relation of the womb. So, you have two individuals, nikah, from one womb, they will be offspring, which become siblings, then there will be grandchildren, then there will be the sisters and brothers on each side. So out of that one womb. So this is the concept. So Allah says that, Anallah, Anarrahman, Khalaqtur Rahim. And then He says, Washaqaqtu laha min ismi. This concept of maintaining family ties, I have extracted it out of my attribute and my name. But not just any ordinary one. The one which speaks about my unlimited compassion and mercy. Therefore He says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, faman wasalaha. Now when we connect and we join with that, we are effectively joining with Allah. Not just Allah, Allah's compassion and Allah's mercy. And then He says, waman qata'aha. When we sever and we cut off with that, then we are effectively cutting ourselves off from Allah. Not just Allah, but the compassion and the mercy of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who says that ar-rahimu mu'allaqatun bil arsh, that this injunction of here of maintaining family ties, this I have connected it to my arsh, showing us extreme closeness to Allah, the great creation of Allah, the arsh, the throne. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that taqul man wasalani wasalahu Allah, whoever joins with me, he is, and who severs with me, who severs from this act and this injunction of maintaining family ties, a person is effectively cutting himself off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. My brothers, in the ayat of the Quran, the ayat which I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what? Wa'budu Allah, worship Allah. In another place Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. In other words, Allah speaks about His Tawheed and His Oneness. And then with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this injunction. So enough of emphasis placed upon this, my brothers, in the Quran and the Sunnah. You know, once I went to visit somebody here in the greater Durban area. And you know, on the porch over there, people have those pot plants. So it's a funny thing, it's meant to be funny also. But, you know, we can take a lesson from it. So in one of the pot plants, a person had a small plaque there saying that friends welcome, relatives by appointment only. So, you know, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us here? That you can, actually it's the opposite. That friends you can choose, but relatives that Allah has chosen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that by my injunction that these people you will have to sustain and maintain a relationship with them. Now my brothers, the common thing happens throughout the ages because of various reasons, you know. So sometimes my brothers, more often than not, pride, ego, that want to prove one's point. Or sometimes my brothers, a vendetta. Sometimes my brothers, it's because of unclear financial dealings, inheritance, and in many instances also abuse of the tongue. So what happens, my brothers, is that a strain is created in a relationship. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that one companion came and he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that inna li qarabatan, some relatives, asiluhum wa yattauni, I am good to them, but notwithstanding that I always visit them, they distance themselves from me. وَأُحْسِنُ إِلَيْهِمْ I am good, I am kind to them, I show kind gestures to them, but their response is not the same. And I overlook from them whatever infractions and so on, but this is not how it's received. Now the Prophet ﷺ is giving the directive, and where he says that لَإِن كُنْتَ كَمَا قُلْتَ, if the situation is as you say, then فَكَأَنَّمَا تُصِفُّهُمُ الْمَلْ, then it is as though you are placing to their face hot ash. So what does this mean? It means, the muhaddithin explained that actually what this means is that it's not you, but it is them, because of their own action they are bringing humiliation upon themselves. And Rasulullah ﷺ said that وَلَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ ظَهِيرٌ, as long as you are looking at what is the right thing and what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will receive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine help. My respected elders and friends, one person, one sahabi, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Prophet of Allah, إِنِّي أَصَبْتُ ذَنْبًا عَظِيمًا, O Prophet of Allah, I have committed a very, very grave sin. Now in normal circumstances, the general command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that make tawbah, make istighfar, turn to Allah, and so on. On this occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is your khala alive? Your own mother's sister? Go to her. That's your tawbah. That's why in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-khala bimanzilatil The khala, she is equal to the mother. And regarding the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abbas, he said, Ammur rajul sinwu abi. That the father's brother is equal to the father. So, my brothers, it comes down to the ulama mentioned what? Fundamentally, the visit. Just the visit. The common, you know, excuse nowadays, I'm so busy, no time, caught up, and so on. But my brothers, like with regards to every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, am I giving it its due importance? Salah I won't miss. My fajr, I'm here, mashallah, I give due importance to it. But what about this? What about me understanding it and realizing it to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great command? There's a narration which is recorded in Bukhari. We've heard this many, many times. Generally, you know, when the imam makes dua, Ya Allah forgive us, might hear some Ameen. Ya Allah have mercy on us, Ameen. Ya Allah grant us Jannah, Ameen. Ya Allah grant us barakat in our rizq, Ameen. The whole congregation came to life. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man ahabba ay yubsata lahu fi rizqi. You want expansiveness in your rizq and sustenance? وَيُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِ And you want barakat in your footsteps? In other words, you want a lengthy lifespan? In other words, not just a lengthy one, but this hadith infers that you will have a good life also. As you move on in your life, you will have a good life, mashallah. You will live a healthy life. And today, my brothers, people, we really worry about this, that how will the ending be? So the Prophet ﷺ said, Man ahabba ayyubsata lahu fi rizqi wa yunsa'a lahu fi athari falyasil rahima. Then give due importance to this, to maintaining family ties. So we said, my brothers, the visit. If not that, then in the traditional books it's written risala. Risala means some kind of communication. Now imagine back in the days it would have meant that, you know what, that I'm gonna write a letter to my uncle or my aunt who lives maybe in Marisburg for it to reach them. Today, my brothers, they can be in Mecca or Medina or London or Dubai within the second. Salaamu alaikum, how are you? How are you keeping? How's your health? How's the children? And so on and so on. As opposed to, my brothers, no effort taking place, because this is what it is, silatul rahim. Then, my brothers, the power of what? The power of the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that tahadaw, give a hadiyah to someone, something small also. I don't know of many situations where you can go and give somebody a hadiyah and show ihsan and kindness to them, and a person would be able to react. Because this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that go and give that hadiyah and see how you will melt the heart of that person. I will end off with this incident. Suratul Nur, there's an entire ruku. There was an incident in the fifth year of the Hijrah after the Battle of Khandaq. So it's known as the scandal or the libel. There was an accusation against the mother of the believer, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So this now, my brothers, this was done by the leader of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. And that was his intention. His intention was malicious, to injure the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he started the scandal. So anyway, there were some Muslimin that also got caught up. And there was a person by the name of Misbah bin Uthatha. He was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was the first cousin of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with wealth. And this sahabi, Misbah, he wasn't so well off. So Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu was giving him a stipend, some financial aid. Now naturally, my brothers, Aisha, and from all the wives, the favorite of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then, you know, this attempt took place, and then also now my own companions get caught up in this. So naturally Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he also felt it. So he said that, you know what, now I'm going to stop, I'm not going to give that support anymore. As soon as, my brothers, he thinks that, Quran comes down, Suratul Nur. Allah ta'ala says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَن يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Let not the people of affluence from amongst you, let them not take an oath that they will stop giving support to the muhajirin, the indigent, and those in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala phrases this, where Allah says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَشْفَقُوا. That's why Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, passed away 774, the famous, the genius Mufassir said that as you would like Allah to fare with you, you adopt the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَشْفَقُوا. Overlook and forgive. Do you not like that Allah forgives and overlook from you? إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So my brothers, at the end of it, we have to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this injunction. It is His divine command. And yes, let's also accept and say that, you know what, that in life things happen, issues happen, and so on. Therefore we will find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never ever took retribution for his own personal motive. Yes, if the command of Allah was violated, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would respond. So my brothers, these small things happen. Sometimes, my brothers, it's a molehill, and now shaitan made it into a mountain. And now a person decides. Sometimes, my brothers, generations go. A person has moved on, and we're looking back. And sometimes, my brothers, even a person now is coaching his children. Yeah, you see, that happened at that time. No, my brothers, let go of it. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَشْفَقُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Forgive and overlook. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.